Man, am I glad we don't ever have those kind of situations.
Hey, my Connect and junior high kids, let's go.
Let's give them a hand again. They did a good job. You know, can you imagine all the special and precious moments of life that are thrown away due to the thief of unforgiveness? You've watched and listened to a somewhat typical scenario of two men who need to face forgiving each other. Forgiveness is a continual process in our lives. To forgive hurts or things said, judgments against us, or even assumptions, which we know pretty much 100% of assumptions are wrong, right? When we assume. Yet God is clear about you and I to forgive others. I want to read Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 with you. I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, even as Christ forgave us. Those are powerful, powerful words. You know, if we look at the dictionary on forgiveness, it says an act of pardoning or releasing someone for a mistake or wrongdoing. And I'd like to add, and still do what's morally and legally right, because sometimes sin is illegal. Or people are evil enough, and the Bible tells us to disfellowship on biblical grounds. But never does it justify us to hate or take revenge. Our word forgive in the original language has a Greek root of grace. In other words, we are to grace people out, and they are to grace us out. When we don't deserve it, right? Or they may not deserve it either. In a fallen world, forgiveness is essential for maintaining close relationships. Right? Husbands and wives or friends? Yet, we all in turn have those hard times forgiving others because it simply isn't easy, especially when it's emotional, especially when both parties are usually in the wrong. Some of you were abused emotionally, physically, or maybe even sexually as kids by parents or relatives or trusted family members. And some of you have been betrayed by an unfaithful spouse whom you loved and cared about deeply. Other kinds of wrongs are not easily forgiven, don't we know? But if you're a Christian this morning, seeking and granting forgiveness is not an option. Jesus says in his Lord's Prayer, and it gives us a good principle, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's so vital for you and me as a Christian to grapple today with the understanding of the practice of forgiveness. So what does it mean to ask forgiveness or to forgive someone? You know, when it's small situations and they're unintended, and that encompasses most violations, an apology is sufficient. But when the issue is large enough or it's hurt the relationship, then an apology is not enough. Have you realized that? Think about this. Apologizing is the world's substitute for forgiveness. Let me say that again. Apologizing is the world's substitute for forgiveness. It allows the offender to tell them how they feel and how they feel bad without acknowledging what they've done. And a lot of times, have you been in the place where when something like that happens, you walk away and all of a sudden you think, what were they apologizing about? In fact, try sometime admitting that you've sinned against a person, stating it clearly, and ask them to forgive you. And you'll probably be surprised at the outcome. It's a little uncomfortable. You might hear, it's no big deal. Oh, it is a big deal. You might hear, I didn't even think about it twice. Oh, probably thought about it 1,000 times. Or one of my favorite is, hey, there's nothing to forgive. Oh, yes, there is. But in reality, we will walk away knowing that we've done what we should do, and they will also realize your Christ-like attitude. Because people need to hear those words. What about you? Paul says that we are to forgive each other just as God in Christ also forgave you. And when we respond to Christ as Lord, God graciously and totally forgives our debt. He releases us from the guilt of sin. And he promises, and listen to this, he promises not to remember those sins anymore. Listen to Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. He asks the same for you and me, towards other people who have hurt us or they have hurt us. Biblical forgiveness is a decision to be acted on, not just a thought to be pondered. It's very easy to ponder it, isn't it? Tough to ask. So, using God's challenge to forgive and be forgiven as a biblical pattern, we can say the following. Forgiveness is a decision to drop the offense and let it go for good. So I came up with four accomplishments when we ask for forgiveness or we forgive. And let me just give you those quickly. It releases the offender from the guilt of his sin. You know, if we all did that, if we ask forgiveness to each other, to God, can you imagine what it'd be like in the Christian life to live guilt-free? Number two, we will no longer ponder the offense. We let it go, just God lets it go with a clear conscience. Number three, we refuse to talk to others about the offense. How many times have you given and said, I forgive you, and then you go back and talk it with somebody, and pretty soon you reignite and resurrect that offense. And so there has to be a commitment to keep your mouth shut about it. Number four, we can be reconciled, reunited with the offender as much as possibly can happen from a biblical point of view. God forgave us so that we could reconcile other people to us just like he reconciled us to him and enjoy a great relationship with God. So we should forgive others and seek to restore it for whatever it takes. Seek to restore and let it be what it has been if that's possible, because God loves them just as much as he loves you, amen? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I'm going to make an assumption that I think is probably 99% true, okay? That is, every one of us have something that has happened recently or in your past that you need to ask forgiveness for. And what I'd like to do as we go to prayer is for you to think about that situation, that person, and I'd like to ask you to act on it, to do something about it, whatever it may be. Will you pray about that? Will you think about that? Let's go to prayer. Father, we come this morning. Lord, you have reconciled yourself to us and us to you through the work of Jesus Christ, who had to give up his life to forgive our sins. Lord, I pray that we would have the same attitude, that whatever it might be in our life, whatever the person, who the person is or the situation is, Lord, help us to act on it, not just ponder it. And may we ask for forgiveness of those people so that we could have a united body, especially in this body, that we might grow together in Christ, not having to experience guilt. Our heads are bowed. You may have come this morning and you may not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me talk to you for a minute. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard. And I know we all know that's true. Even when we talk about forgiveness, we realize the sin that has occurred in our life. And he ends up saying, and the wages of that sin is death. It's eternal death. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A free gift. And if you're here this morning and you think this is the time for me, this is a time I need to ask Christ to come into my life and change my life. He says in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning and you've never really put your faith and trust in Christ, and you want to do that this morning, I'm going to pray a little prayer, and as I pray that, will you pray along with me, realizing you're going to ask him to come into your life, and the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead just as that verse said, and I believe it. And I also know that you rose from the dead for me too as a result. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. While heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer with me and you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, will you raise your hand, put it back down, let God know you meant business this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else this morning? Thank you. Father, we thank you through belief that we can come and surrender our lives to you. Lord, I pray for those who raise their hand that they'll be able to seek us out, come up afterwards or at some point talk to us so we can begin to help them walk through the Christian life. Lord, that's what a church is about, is that we gather together and understand what it means to live the Christian life. And we thank you for this assembly. We thank you that you love us so. We thank you when you invented the church body, that we could be together in fellowship. May you be praised, and we give you the glory today. And Lord, as we partake of the chili after church, we ask blessing upon that as well, and upon the people who eat the food. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship together.